It's 24 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. And you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM and the Midrick Drive with Alex Levchuk and Sabina Gerlach from Magdeburg. But now Lincoln. Citizen-wise, do you see yourself as a Magdeburg citizen or a Lincoln citizen or a citizen of the world?
Oh, I like Lincoln. I love the community over here, so I'm from Lincoln.
There we are. Millie Wastey is a fabulous soul from Northamptonshire. And she looks after all sorts of wonderful things with respect to the biggest cheese festival in the country, possibly in Europe, actually. That would be the Nantwich Cheese Festival. And, of course, Farmers on Film. Very exciting. Something we're covering very extensively and will continue to do so, as well as being RABI Regional Manager for the East Midlands. But, Millie, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Alex. You?
Very good indeed. Now, Millie, it's a little over, I think, a fortnight since the excitement that was the first ever Farmers on Film Festival, and there will be many more, I'm sure, as the years proceed. We know how much our fabulous joint contact, Sarah Gayton, has been working on this whole system, but from your own perspective, did you feel it cut the mustard, so to speak?
Fantastic opportunity to promote British agriculture and the wonderful work that the farming community do. I went for the first time to speak on behalf of, well, of my experience of communicating not only to the farming community but to the big wide world about how what we're doing on the land and how we're producing food. And it was great to talk about social media and the marketing element and sort of bridging the gap between the field to fork education about how and where food comes from, which was great, really. And also I came home with a big bag of cheese, so that was really quite nice. So, and there were many speakers there throughout the day talking about their various experiences, and I think Sarah is a big powerhouse on Farmers on Film in organising the various people throughout the country as well as worldwide. She's got farmers all over the place doing videos about what they're doing on the farm and whether or not that's sort of straight agriculture or if they've got a business where they're adding value to products and things like that. It's really exciting, and it was a fantastic opportunity to be able to talk about what we do and share that with the people that were there to showcase their cheese businesses. So, yeah, it was great.
We've spoken to Fiona Lake, of course, who's an ace photographer from Australia, who was over for the event, and we'll be continuing our links with her when she returns to the Antipodes. But what first brought you to the Farmers on Film project, Millie?
Well, actually, it was Sarah who got in touch with me via Twitter, and Sarah is very proactive on Twitter in communicating to the big wide world. And actually, she contacted me because of my various involvements or my various hats that I wear. You mentioned that I work for RABI, but I was also the chairman for the National Federation of Young Farmers Clubs last year. And also, we're farming here in Northamptonshire, and I've got a small project adding value to rare breed pig meat. So I've got lots of different elements that I think Sarah thought that I could bring to the table, and being a young person under 30 in agriculture as well, I think she quite liked the sound of me. And actually, you know, it's something fun and innovative, and you know, we're able to share the work that we're doing to other people. So I'm really looking forward to obviously furthering that work with Farmers on Film. And I urge other people that are, you know, are interested to get in touch with Sarah, who is at Farmers on Film on Twitter, and she will definitely snap you up and put you forward for things. It's a great opportunity.
You might even end up on a radio show and a
absolutely
podcast.
That's exactly how I've ended up on your radio show.
There we are. Sabina, as somebody else who's under 30, no doubt, working through a whole range of other bits and pieces, well, thereabouts, you know, I used to be under 30 once, not too long ago. But in terms of the agricultural side of things, clearly, there's a European aspect here, but from what you've actually just heard in terms of Farmers on Film, which is very much designed to promote the good work that farmers do across the globe, really, not just in Britain, a good idea?
It's brilliant, because you never see what's going on behind the scenes, and it would be good to have more insights.
And last year, of course, or this year, a few months ago, you were at the Lincolnshire County Show, basically keeping awareness of what was happening there. I mean, was that your first Lincolnshire County show that you'd been to?
Yes, it was. First Lincolnshire show ever. I was impressed with the amount of cattle I've seen and how big it actually is and how many people are involved in enjoying the show.
So we've got a great server. I mean, we're going to have to refresh our memories in terms of Magdeburg. Is it an industrial base? Is it a rural system? What's the kind of infrastructure like?
Yeah, it's more industrial based.
Yeah, well, you need a balance. That's the important thing. So, Millie, if we were to say to Sabina, as we probably will after the programme, how can she get involved with respect to Farmers on Films? You might have, you know, your students who might be interested, sharing all sorts of other bits and pieces. Yeah. What's the best way forward, Millie?
I would suggest looking on Twitter or finding Farmers on Film on the internet. But Sarah Gayton is probably the best connection that you could ever make if you follow Farmers on Film on Twitter. That would be the best thing. Or indeed, if you wanted to follow me on Twitter at Millie Wastey, you'll be able to follow my journey of how I'm using Twitter as a platform to promote what we're doing at the Farm Gate, as well as all the other things that I'm involved with. I think Twitter is such a great platform to be able to promote what we're doing, and there's all sorts of other forums that are out there that, like you were talking about, that actually it is interesting to find out what's going on behind the scenes and the journey of or the process of how food gets to your table.
And it is looking towards that. It's partly educational, it's partly celebrating the best of agriculture. Clearly there's a difference between the large-scale industrial farms and also the small holdings and various other factors that are there. I mean, from your own perspective, Millie, based in Northamptonshire, home, of course, of our very own William Sitwell, who'll be joining us at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Is it a kind of medium-sized farm? What's the sort of Wastey family specialism?
Well, actually, it's the Fife family. I'm marrying into the family family business, but I'm not actually from a farming background myself, but it's through the Young Farmers that I've got very much involved with agriculture. But the farming business that I'm involved with my partner Andrew, it's a medium-sized farm, so we're a couple of hundred acres, and we're a mixed farm of beef, sheep and some arable. We've got about 120 acres of arable, which is nothing compared to the likes of Lincolnshire farms at the moment with the arable farmers.
Millie, you're small but perfectly formed.
Small
but perfectly formed, Millie.
Absolutely. You know, we're a medium-sized farm. We've got enough to sustain a couple of people's income on the farm and enough to be able to sort of manage without having to employ too many people. And I've got my my pigs as well and do a lot of advocacy work surrounding that, and then obviously working full-time for RABI covering the whole of the East Midlands. So I was at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show, and again, I find that such a wonderful opportunity to promote the charity, but also to find out what other people are doing in Lincolnshire. It's a very agricultural predominant county, and it's always great to meet like-minded people and to see the wonderful cattle and livestock, and also meet the guys in the machinery and see what they're up to too. So so all exciting stuff.
And that's one of the reasons why that resonation continues. And I'm sure as we look to the Lincolnshire County Show 2015, and I know that Jane Southall and her team, Amelia and so on, will be already busy working with respect to that, we'll be able to meet up and do various other things. In fact, we should do a location report on Northamptonshire farm, Millie.
And yeah, we'll no, you should. That. I'd be more than welcome to have you down and come and see us. I mean, we're not far from, we're only just off the M1, so we're not very far at all. And, we're always welcome to having local media and local groups come and see us, because, again, it's important to talk to people about how we produce the food, and perhaps also talk around some of the legislation that we have to deal with, the bureaucracy that surrounds things, because I think there's this very idealistic kind of darling buds and may view sometimes that, everything is always lovely and farming is just great. And I think it is great, but there is a lot of hoops that we have to jump through in order to be able to produce the food. But similarly, it's a fantastic lifestyle and rewarding career to be involved with, being able to watch animals grow and the crops that you grow, and watching the journey throughout the seasons. It is very such a fantastic career and industry to be involved in.
Are you saying it's not perfect all the time? Sorry.
Well, I don't want to sound like a stereotypical farmer and sort of moan about the weather, but unfortunately there are factors that do, you know, inhibit your farm business that is, you know, out of your control sometimes. I suppose a lot of businesses can concur with that. But, you know, I don't like to sort of, you know, paint the sort of rose-tinted view that everything is always perfect, because ultimately with my job with ROBI, we provide financial and practical assistance to the farming community when they do fall on hard times.
Indeed.
And whether that be through high accident rate, whether that be through unexpected deaths in the family, or whether that be through illness or disability, we're able to help with provision of mobility equipment, adaptations around the home, things like that, sort of offering that practical, confidential support to help keep people in farming, or helping them to retire if they are no longer able to be sustained within the industry. So it is, you know, I'm very, very passionate about agriculture, and there is a place for everybody. And I'm passionate about the work that I do with ROBI because it is such a worthwhile organisation that's been in existence for over 150 years. We have so many farmers and rural people that support the charity with fundraising, and local colleges and students and young farmer supporters as well. And then with the other end, when there are people that do need our help, that we're able to help respond to that and give the support that is needed. So, yeah, it is a lovely industry, and I think we all like to help one another as well. I think we saw down in the southwest when the Somerset farmers were flooded, the camaraderie that Lincolnshire farmers even were helping to help those people in need with provision of haylage and silage and straw and fodder, so that those that were in desperate need were able to feel better supported and obviously get through the crisis. So, sorry, I probably waffled on there a little bit. But
Millie, it's perfectly okay. We were just actually taking a read through one of our other regular correspondents, Ilana Rain, who's raised an interesting line in terms of what she's been talking about at 10:05 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for her regular fix of live radio broadcasting, which is quite interesting. Well, she's going to be talking about the open carry gun movement in the United States, but knowing the Midweek Drive, it could evolve into a discussion of the open karaoke movement. It's very difficult. You know, it could be all sorts of things. The RABI, of course, Millie, stands for the Royal Agricultural Benevolent Institution.
That's correct, yes. And I cover the East Midlands region, so obviously Lincolnshire being one of my counties that I support. And basically my role, I oversee the fundraising and marketing for the charity. So I organise various events. We, every year, get involved with the Harvest Festival Service at Lincoln Cathedral, for example, and the young farmers generally organise discos and balls and things, but there's always room for more people to get involved. You don't have to be involved in agriculture to be supportive of the charity, because after all, everyone relies on a farmer three times a day to eat. Your breakfast, lunch and tea is provided to you by the farming community. So
there we have it.
In a roundabout way, by buying British and supporting the farming community, you are helping that industry. I've been with the charity 6 years now, and I thoroughly enjoy going around meeting people, encouraging people, and working with them to make a difference and helping those that are in need to get back on their feet, or perhaps look to retire out of the industry too. So we help people of all ages, so small children up to retired and elderly farmers, farm workers and their family members. And we've got a cracking website if you wanted to know more information, which is www.rabi.org.uk.
I can sense the surrogate has obviously been at work in terms of coaching you in terms of non-stop material there, Millie, which is fantastic stuff there.
I could talk to you for
I'm sure,
a long
exactly.
time about a lot of things because of the different hats that I wear.
Clearly.
Hopefully you probably get the passion that...
I think that's coming through in spades. It's fantastic stuff. I mean, the name is Millie Wastey, who is, I think, some sort of Tinchy Strider rap artist for the farming industry, but it's Millie Wastey. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on this, your debut for the Midweek Drive, Millie?
Yeah, Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for the opportunity.
So I take it you will return in the very near future?
Yeah, keep me posted if there's anything coming up that you want me to speak on, whether it be to do with farming, food, events that are coming up, or I'll probably pester you when I've got events with Lincolnshire RABI, or anything that I think is relevant. So I hope you've enjoyed my chatter. And, yeah, if you want to find out more about me, follow me on Twitter, at Millie Waster. I've got my own website, www.milliewaster.com. So you're walking down.
Coming out of a feature on farming and farmers on film with The Farm, you might almost think there was production involved. Or perhaps just get on that groovy train is a bit more like saying get on the groovy train that is the Big House Theatre Company with their ace theatrical director and general all-round wonderful soul. That would be the legendary Maggie Norris. How are you, Maggie?
I'm very good and delighted to be back on air with you.
Likewise, it's good to connect with your good self. And I must admit, I have been remiss insofar as I did say I was going to put you in touch with Dylan Rice, one of our my colleagues here at the University of Lincoln. I'll do that. I'll introduce you electronically so we might be able to come and visit you at the Big House Theatre Company and talk about ways in which the research he's doing into young offenders could cross-reference into, obviously, the excellent work you do with the Big House Theatre Company.
Well, that would be very timely, because we're about to do a project that's involving a number of ex-offenders.
There we are. In the studio, we have the fabulous Sabina Gerlach, who's originally from Germany, in fact, Magdeburg, and is over here. She fell in love with Lincoln, and why shouldn't she become a lecturer at the Lincoln Business School in marketing if you've done that sort of thing? It's very important. Very fascinated by the Big House Theatre Company. Share with us, for the benefit of Sabina and our listener, Maggie, how did you come up with the concept in the first place? Because it's very exciting and very worthwhile.
Well, the concept was really born out of the work that I've been doing for the last 6 years, because I, having directed a musical in the West End that was set in prison, I did a lot of research in order to direct Bad Girls, and I found myself fascinated by that whole area of work, and particularly the rehabilitation process of offenders. And so I went and did some voluntary work, and then I found myself extremely inspired by the people that I was working with, and using theatre as a tool, if you like, to help people who have got confidence problems, low self-esteem, all sorts of problems, actually. And I worked for a number of years doing big productions in Wormwood Scrubs and Pentonville and working with ex-offenders, but was shocked to discover that over 40% of the under 21s in prison have been in the care system. So I began to get frustrated that I was working with them in prison, and thought, actually, what I really should be doing is stopping them go to prison and to stop that direct pathway from care to prison. So I set up the Big House, and the Big House actually is a term used by the young people that I work with, meaning prison. So it's an alternative prison, if you like. They can come and spend some time with us. So that's how the Big House was set up.
Sabina, questions or thoughts from yourself?
It's really great to get other people involved. Do you just work with young people?
We have a mixture, actually, because we have what's called an open house program, whereby youngsters who are sort of roughly between the ages of 16 and 25 come and join us for a three-month program. But we also do standalone productions, and we've got quite a big production coming up in the autumn, a musical, which is shifting us all up a gear, and very exciting. And that has the opportunity for us to get older people involved. And so there are a number of older ex-offenders who will be in the realness.
One of the aspects of drama which is part of the magic, really, is it enables human beings to not only increase their confidence levels, but also to connect with other people, as the classic playwrights would say, only connect. You must see people, to use that classic cliche, undergoing quite a journey from the moment they might tentatively approach the Big House to when they're obviously performing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head there, because people come along and see our productions, but the productions really are the cherry on the cake. And it's, you know, lovely. It's a great sort of shop window, if you like. And however, what's really interesting is the journey from the moment that they come to us to getting them to that place. Because the vast majority of youngsters who come are extremely isolated and, you know, usually living in hostels, or they may still be in care, who are very cut off from people. And, you know, the idea of acting or improvising is such a huge thing for them to do. So seeing that process and the journey that they go on as they become part of the family, which is the big house, when they go on that theatrical journey, if you like, is really lovely.
And one of the criticisms that we often tends to be levelled at, shall we say, the non-professional circuit, and I appreciate you're totally professional, Maggie, which is a point I want to make, is that, well, you have a year to actually produce this whole thing and so on. But your workshop, 12-week programme, it's pretty intensive. I mean, we're looking at 4 weeks of workshops, four weeks rehearsal, and then 4 weeks of performances. That's one heck of a routine.
I know. And I absolutely love it. Yeah. It is. It's a huge challenge, and you know, there's a massive amount of adrenaline, and it keeps it very rough and raw, but I make sure that I work with extremely good writers who are able to work under that level of pressure, and so it's quite exhilarating. But that all adds to, you know, the final sort of production, and that's something that the audience and the reviewers have really picked up on, is that level of raw energy that hits them when they're in a sort of promenade performance with youngsters who are acting at a very high level, you know, and very close up. It's nerve-wracking, because it is 3 months only for the you know, the whole play being to emerge. But it's not just the play, you know, it's everything else. You know, there's a lot of pastoral care that's going on at the same time. And it's, the play is very much written around the youngsters involved. So it's really playing to their strengths and really getting them to a place whereby they feel hugely comfortable stepping in their own shoes. And by doing that, it means that when they sort of move on, they are able to go to a job interview, or, you know, to university or wherever, or employment, being confident in their own shoes and being able to sort of communicate well and express themselves well, which is why theatre is such a brilliant sort of transferable skill.
Several of our graduates and undergraduates, effectively, from the Performing Arts Programme at Lincoln University, currently up in Edinburgh doing their festival stuff, and we'll see some of the fruits of that when they come back to Lincoln later. Of course, that we like to see the Edinburgh Fringe Festival enables them to actually iron out the glitches, so when they come back to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, we can see much better performances, just a minor point. But in terms of that, is there a likelihood of possibly seeing some touring aspects of the Big House Theatre?
Yes, I mean, we are certainly looking to do that, and that's been the response from the audience. We slightly underestimated the impact, actually, on the audience of the shows, and so each time we've done them, we started off doing them for a week and then had to quickly do them the next one for 3 weeks and then the next for 5.5 weeks. So it is, that's very much on the agenda, and we are talking at the moment with another company to do a co-production that will go on tour. So we're also looking to perform in unusual spaces as well. So I've had a very interesting meeting with the Foundling Museum in London, who are interested to have a production within the museum. So we're certainly branching out, and touring is very much on our mind.
I think we'll have to pass on details to Craig Morrow and the rest of the team over at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and sort of put you in touch from that point of view.
We'd love to come to Lincoln.
I think it's worthwhile. So, Sabina, any other thoughts or questions for Maggie you'd like to raise?
Sabina, we're actually thinking about Germany at the moment. I'll just interject with this, if that's all right, because the Foundling Museum, one of the founding members and big, massive supporters, was Handel, who was an orphan. Mm-hmm. And Handel supported the Foundling Museum and left all his music and his will to them. And I was actually brought up in East Germany, in Halle, where Handel was born. So I'm thinking about taking that production from the Foundling Museum, possibly to Halle.
I'm from Magdeburg, which is near Halle.
I know it very well. I know it very well as a child.
You might almost think this show was produced, mightn't you? It's amazing.
So if you could set up that transfer, we'd be very grateful.
That's your task for today, Sabina. Work through that. It'll work splendidly. A reminder, it's thebighousetheatre.org.uk to actually take you to the website in terms of thebighousetheatre.org.uk and some of the magical things that are coming through with respect to that. In terms of, obviously, the schedule, I mean, do you get a chance to actually do your own stuff, Maggie? Is it a case of, no, I'm completely dedicated to this. This is where my focus is at present.
I have turned down 2 jobs this week, and actually I cannot go off and do anything else. Mm. It's absolutely all-consuming, and I'm really delighted to be able to turn down the other stuff,
Johnny Depp was turned down, Matt Damon was turned down. It's amazing.
I really, really love the work that I do. It's hugely fulfilling. It's, you know, I mean, it's a massive challenge and all-consuming, but it's so rewarding. And particularly from the young people who really give so much back. So there's no chance of me going off, unless it was one of our productions that we were transferring to the West End or the National, in which case I would be out of the Big House and very happy to be there with them.
It'll happen, Maggie. I know. Positive.
I do hope so.
There we are. You've got the might of the Madrid Drive and Siren FM behind you. It's inevitable. Maggie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on this, your return to the Madrid Drive?
I have really enjoyed it. Yes, really enjoyed it.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Definitely, yes. And we will tell you all about the realness and the new musical that we'll be launching in the autumn. Yeah.
It's getting very exciting. In fact, I think we should really arrange to come and see you while we're down in London next. So we'll
definitely
be with that. Yeah.
All right.
Maggie Norris, we salute you. Take care now.
Bye. I only like dreaming all the day long, where no one is screaming.
Say it's the button, which of course is the Michelle Monroe button, and that means it is time for Michelle Monroe on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM. Michelle, how are you?
I'm very well, Alex. You?
Excellent, and just tickety-boo in all sorts of ways. I mean, it's the fabulous month of August. What more can we actually expect? It's just joyous stuff here.
I've just been to Norway, so it's been a little chillier than I'd have hoped. But
the fjords probably were as crinkly as ever, really. But
the scenery. Stunning.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about Norwegian fjords. We're here to talk about Matt Monro.
I got a cracker for you this week. This is another one of my father's lesser-known tracks. In fact, we don't even know much about the writers of this song, except for their names, Hamilton and Dodds. The track comes from one of my father's 1965 albums, I Have Dreamed, although it was recorded 2 years earlier, on the 10th of January 1963, at Abbey Road Studios. It was arranged by Dad's longtime friend and musical director, Johnny Spence, and produced by George Martin at the same recording session that produced the single One Day. Although George and his engineer, Stuart Eltham, had used 4-track the previous year for Dad's recording of When Love Comes Along, this session saw them use the 4-track on a regular basis. This new technology allowed them to place the orchestra and Dad on separate tracks and combine these in a mono and stereo mix later on. A varied take of this song was released last year on the alternate Monroe, but Here for Siren is the original version of Without the One I Love.
Fantastic choice as ever, Michelle. Truly wonderful. I mean, I'm always tempted to say they get better and better, but, you know, that couldn't possibly be the case, or could it? Anyway.
But I don't think there are too many bad songs of Dad's, luckily, and the lesser-known tracks are always nice to play once in a while, you know.
There were very few turkeys in the Monroe Oeuvre, that's what we would say.
Yes, except for French Poodle, not my favourite.
Don't go down the line of the French Poodle, not in these days. You know, we can do so many sort of rural things. We'll get involved with the Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting Terriers. Michelle, back again next week?
Yes, well, on the 20th.
Oh, yeah, quite right. Next fortnight. There we are.
Alex.
Yay!
I know, it's always an excitement, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Michelle. Quite rightly so. Without the One I Love, amazing. Sabina, I'm still trying to get my head around the notion of David Hasselhoff being, of course, the saviour of the German people. Not so much Baywatch, nor indeed the excitement that was Knight Rider, but just through being the Hasselhoff.
Being the Hoff, yeah.
Being the Hoff.
And singing After Loving for Freedom.
And singing. Amazing. That's all you need, Ilana Raine. Just you know, the Hasselhoff connection. He don't have any problems with respect to open carry gun movements. He broke into an open karaoke movement, wouldn't he, Ilana Raine?
We live with the Baywatch shadow every time we go to the beach, especially in Malibu. It's a little hard to escape now that I'm in L.A.
So now we are speaking, as far as Los Angeles time is concerned, at 3 minutes 11 seconds, well, 12 seconds, past the hour of 10 a.m. in Los Angeles. What's the day looking like, Ilana? I mean, is it another boring, sunshiny day? Or have you got something excitement, like snow?
Oh, no. No such thing as boring sun. Because, you know, I just came back from Mexico where it rained every single day, so... I'm over that, and just really happy to be back in L.A., moving studios into a bigger space and reconnecting with the film from the studio perspective and not the festival perspective.
Which is a critical aspect, really, in terms of the marketing side of things, Sabina. You obviously, it's beholden upon film directors to go out and do the festivals and so on, but ultimately they are creative, sensitive souls, and they've got to get on with producing the things as well. It's a tough call. Anyway, Ilana, welcome along to the production. As ever, a delight. This open carry gun movement, which seems to be borderline insanity, but then again, every country seems to go through it every so often. Is it a case of the from my cold dead hands Charlton Heston mentality seems to be winning out, or is it just a case of, well, you know, maybe we should actually do without the bullets, or perhaps actually replace with spears or swords or such like?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring up Charlton Heston, because I feel like this is completely tied in to drama and the people who feel like they have to parade around Texas or Arizona making very brash demonstrations of their purported right to do such a thing, they're craving drama. They're craving a level of drama in their lives that they must not have, because I can't imagine anyone who has truly been exposed to terror or violence or any sort of actual war where they've seen people get shot or riddled with bullets or just even hear bombs go off in their house. I can't imagine how someone could walk through a Walmart or go into an Applebee's restaurant with loaded machine guns and a group of them and not imagine that they're actually inflicting terror on the population. So I'm deeply troubled by this movement. It's fortunately, it's not gaining too much ground in this country, but sadly, some very large establishments are allowing such protests to take place. And I, one of the few things I'm politically involved in is working with people to protest such establishments that allow this. And I think that that's important, that we all vote with our wallet here in this country, since that's really the bottom line for so many people. It's like, well, I won't shop at Target. I won't eat at Applebee's. Not that I do much anyway, but I think that these are important things we have to put forward. And it has to do with image as well. You know, my dear friends over in England, they're like, wow, how can you live like in a country where there's this threat? And it's obviously not in your face constantly, but when I did live in Arizona, I was witness to a political debate in a bar, the guy didn't like what someone was talking about President Obama and health care, and he revealed his gun on his hip, and a couple people hit the deck, the bartender pounced on him, and the sheriff happened to be at the next table, so he escorted him out. But, you know, I was witness to that, and it was terror. It was not the first time I've been witness to a gun. So I'm personally offended by this, and I really hope that people become more aware of the situation.
Sabina, in the studio, you're shaking your head there in astonishment. From the German perspective. And your thoughts on what Ilana's just defined and described for us there?
Sounds like a movie scene. It can't be reality. Seriously, I've never heard about something like this.
Yeah, you know, and that's also really interesting you said that, Sabina, because, you know, sometimes these things do play out in a way that we've been so exposed to media and film. Like when I saw the towers fall on 9/11, because I was living downtown, not just me, but everyone around us was like, wow, it's just like a movie. And indeed, when I was in that bar in Arizona, people, I was like, this is a very well choreographed movie. How did that bartender do that? Like, where's the breakaway chair? Oh, this actually just happened. So, you know, I guess these people who do this, they need that. They want to have this fusion of cinema and actual life. Are their lives that pathetic and boring that they have to create such terror?
Is it added to, or is it decreased by the immersive nature of video games and the multi-role-playing scenarios where shoot-em-ups regrettably tend to be very much in the popular stakes?
Ooh, that's a tough one, because I know that, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, violent media and violent games lead towards more violence, and I think that could be a whole other that could take up your entire midweek drive next week, and we can talk about it. But I think it desensitizes, absolutely, and I absolutely feel that it can lead to more violence in extreme personalities. But what is scary is that when it becomes more of a collective mentality, when it becomes this idea that lives are expendable and that, you know, we can just shoot our problems away, or, oh, someone's trying to steal my silverware set, therefore I have the right to shoot them, that to me is madness. And perhaps video games and first-person shooter games can come into play. I don't know. I don't know.
Meanwhile, from the magical world of Vic Tension's magical space Facebook scenario, I see a certain Ilana Rain wandering across the street of San Miguel with Marietta von Hauswolf.
Ah, yes, Marietta, a new friend, yes.
Well, okay, so share with us. Marietta von Hauswolf.
Yes, she's actually, her full name has two Vons in it, which is, you know, fantastic. I've never met two Vons. Yeah, she's a producer of an acclaimed film called Call Girl in Sweden. And, you know, the great thing about these festivals is the people you meet and the connections in the industry and just being on a level platform with people to talk about films and your own films and share things and make things happen and, you know, make deals happen. So I was really honored that my feature, that our feature in development, Out of the Everywhere, was selected for the incubator program at the Guanajuato International Film Festival. And that was great just to be able to move that project forward on an international level, which it's always been. And I was also really proud of myself because up until about 3 days before arriving, I was calling Guanajuato Guantanamo, and I didn't want to arrive.
Big mistake. I mean, I love the way you sort of say Guanajuato, you know, Guanajuato. Not Guantanamo. You know, one, you actually have a very small room and lots of sort of strange, interesting activities for the borders. But the other one, you have a more flexibility and friendliness from that point of view. One, you can actually
say... It would have been a different slate of meetings, no doubt, in Guantanamo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could look at it, but at present we don't have any sort of plans. If you're listening, CIA, this is for you, to actually do any live features from Guantanamo Bay. You know, it's just an important thing. Step away from that.
Isn't it great? It's great how we can, like, get all serious about gun control, and then we can just make light of international torture regimes. I love the midweek drive.
Well, you know, we like to keep that boundary there, but at the same time, somewhere cross over it. In a few moments, we'll be speaking to Rosie Tratt and Anna Cookson, who will produce the highly successful Girls Talk podcast series. It's just launched. I think it could be as successful and do for feminism what Phil Dearness and Dean Haglund have actually done for Chilpack Hollywood General Style, and yourself, of course, Ilana. So you know, it could be very exciting. So Rosie and Anna will be joining us as far as that's concerned. Meanwhile, Sabina, any thoughts or questions you'd like to put to Ilana about life, the universe, or indeed, you know, the joys of festivals?
Did you enjoy your time in Mexico?
Oh, I really did enjoy my time. Yeah.
Guanajuato. Sorry, I was having a Speedy Gonzales moment there.
Well, you know, I just I wasn't quite prepared for the. San Miguel is this absolutely gorgeous jewel town. It's, you know, 16th century. You know, cobblestone streets, lots of hills. So my red platform sandals were a no-go. So I did have some boots. But yeah, I mean, Mexico, it's the town. This town, people, you know, kiss you hello, and they don't even know you. It's just there's this warmth and openness, and it's people really care about art and film in this town. Sadly, it's surrounded by the most utter abject poverty you could imagine. And, you know, it was very difficult at times for me to see on the highway, you know, there's no laws about seatbelts, so there'd be little babies in the front of cars. And, you know, that's really tough to witness. And, you know, it's definitely a challenge to, you know, be in a place where, you know, obviously people love their children as much as everyone in the world do, but, you know, so there's a sense of powerlessness that comes along with visiting certain places that do things differently than we're used to.
Sure. And that is where the non-interference directive that was so spoken about in the Ramshif Enterprise program, you know, is all there.
Sorry. Yeah, the prime directive.
Like the prime directive, exactly.
The prime directive.
Sabina, did you get Star Trek in East Germany?
I can't remember.
You can't remember, yeah.
Well, then that's the prime.
Exactly. It's a whole new world. Ilana, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I really have, Alex. It's always great talking to you.
Well, we like to feel that we sort of add a little bit of breakfast joy to, you know, the Los Angeles listener and sort of preview before we actually head over to Fiddle In as for the wrap-up of the sequence. But it doesn't quite end there, Ilana, because it's time to wear your musical producer's hat. We've got two choices of music. One ties in with the notion of, obviously, Sabina's fondness for music from the 80s, which was, of course, barred in East Germany before the wall came down, thanks to David Hasselhoff. Could be rewriting history as we speak here. That would be 99 Red Balloons by Nina. That's one possible choice. Alternatively, we could go all Ooga Chaka, Ooga Chaka, with Blue Suede and Hooked on a Feeling from Guardians of the Galaxy. Where are you going to send the listener, Ilana Rain? Is it 99 Red Balloons, 99 Luftballon, or Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede?
Yeah, 99.
Yeah, it's
99.
I really thought she might have actually for a moment gone, but she said no, you know, and probably not. Although, you know, to me, that would have actually got the Berlin Wall problem sorted out a lot earlier if we could have actually got, you know, Chancellor Willy Brandt and company just singing. In fact, I'd go further and say if we could actually sort of suggest this to President Putin and company in the Soviet Union, all they really need is a darn good. But maybe not, because karaoke will be the subject of the next theme. So, Ilana Rain, will you actually be connecting with us again in the near future?
Love to, Alex. Thank you. And I think you should just mix them both up.
What, you mean that and? No. On the other hand, out there, floating in the summer sky, 99.